Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. We're coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran. Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, the UN Atomic Agency has rejected an Arab-sponsored resolution calling on Israel to join a global anti-atomic weapons treaty. The IAEA has so far refused to ratify a resolution against Israel's nuclear activities.
The International Atomic Energy Agency has narrowly voted against an Arab-backed resolution that urged Israel to join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The motion was rejected by a margin of only 5 votes. 46 delegations voted in favor of the resolution and 51 against it.
There's no way to go backward. We might have up and downs, but this trend will not be stopped. I want to congratulate that over 100 countries of the IAEA membership did not surround to the pressure by United States and other Israelis' allies.
Sudan's ambassador to the IAEA, Mahmoud Alamin, who presently chairs the Arab group, criticized the IAEA for its failure to address the issue of Israel under U.S. pressure and its, quote, obvious double standard.
The issue is still alive, and the issue will continue to be alive. I believe we haven't lost today. We have succeeded in telling the whole world about what's going on, in telling the world about the double standard of the Western group, especially concerning this matter.
This was the second resolution in 2 consecutive years introduced in a bid to persuade Tel Aviv to join the NPT and allow the UN Atomic Agency to inspect its nuclear facilities. The US and its allies, however, managed, through intense lobbying, to turn the vote in their favor, a result seen by some officials as a huge blow to the IAEA's credibility and image as an impartial international agency. The US and its allies have taken harsh measures against Iran over its nuclear program, although the IAEA has confirmed the non-diversion of Iran's nuclear activities. So the West's support of Israel's refusal to accede to the NPT, according to analysts, not only hurts the IAEA global image, but also raises serious questions about Washington's sincerity in its drive for peace and stability in the Middle East. Eva Manasieva, Press TV from the IAEA headquarters in Vienna.
Well, thousands of people have held anti-U.S. rallies across Pakistan to protest an American court's verdict against a female Pakistani scientist. Now, this after a New York court sentenced 38-year-old Dr. Afia Siddiqui to 86 years in prison. Well, hundreds of police were deployed across the capital, Islamabad, to stop angry protesters from marching on the U.S. embassy. Also in Karachi, police fired tear gas to prevent hundreds of protesters moving towards the U.S. consulate. Dozens of lawyers and activists also blocked traffic in Multan. Polls in the U.S. suggest that both Democrats and Republicans are losing popularity ahead of November's midterm congressional elections. An Associated Press poll shows that the majority of Americans disapprove of the job congressional Democrats are doing. This while 59% of the respondents say they're disappointed with the Obama administration's handling of the economy. The poll has also revealed that only 4 in 10 Americans will likely show support for the U.S. president in the November midterm elections. They believe the Republicans are doing no better. 68% of them say they're disappointed with the Republicans' performance. A majority also disapprove of what they are doing with the top issues. The U.S. plans to continue its occupation of Afghanistan despite a July 2011, a deadline to withdraw all troops from the country. U.S. President Barack Obama says American troops will stay in Afghanistan until the job is done. He announced that there will not be a sudden pullout of troops on the withdrawal date. The announcement comes only days after it was revealed that the CIA created an elite spy network of Afghan paramilitaries in Afghanistan back in 2002. The 3,000 so-called counter-terrorist pursuit team was set up to hunt the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. The units also conducted operations inside neighboring Pakistan as part of a campaign against militant safe havens. In other news, reports say Israeli forces have killed a Palestinian man in East Jerusalem al-Quds. Now, the man was shot dead in the village of Isawiya. Earlier, Israeli police arrested 18 Palestinians in connection with clashes in al-Quds. Israeli police said the detainees were suspected of organizing and taking part in violence. The Palestinian Fatah party says two of its leaders are among those detained. Violence was sparked on Wednesday after an Israeli settlement guard fatally shot a Palestinian. Well, thousands of Palestinians have gathered in the town of Umm al-Fahim to protest the Israeli policies in Jerusalem al-Quds. Press TV's Shireen Yassin reports.
The usually quiet Arab town of Umm al-Fahim in northern Israel attracted a large number of protesters on Friday afternoon. For the 15th year in a row, thousands came to mark the annual protest against Israel's policies in East Jerusalem al-Quds. Palestinians living in Israel say that Tel Aviv has been implementing the policy of expanding the settlements and expelling Palestinians from the city to change the demographic makeup of the city. Close to 200,000 settlers live in East Jerusalem al-Quds.
We are here to sustain the Al-Aqsa and Jerusalem issue and to declare to all over the world that the Al-Aqsa is owned, is for Muslims, and it will not be any time a temple.
For the past 15 years, a lot of changes happened in East Jerusalem al-Quds, especially in the old city that is home to the Al-Aqsa Mosque and Dome of the Rock. Israeli tunnels under the old city were opened, and synagogues and Jewish buildings were established around the mosque. And for the past few years, restrictions were tightened on worshippers who are only allowed to enter the mosque according to their ages and places of residence.
Israel's policies contradict with its statements regarding peace. It is still building new settlements to change the demography of the city. We don't feel safe anymore.
Night has fallen and people are still arriving in Umm al-Fahim. They are carrying flags and, more than that, carrying hope that such gatherings would help draw attention to their grievances. Palestinians say they are concerned that Israel's policies in the city will push them out of the third holiest site in Islam.
Al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak.
We expect the Arab and Muslim world to show solidarity. Al-Aqsa is not just for the Palestinians, it is for all Muslims. What Israel is doing is against the law.
Israel has occupied East Jerusalem since 1967. Palestinians say that in any future negotiation, this city should be considered the capital of their future state. But Israel says it will remain its undivided capital.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. These are the headlines this hour. The UN Atomic Agency narrowly votes down a resolution that urges Israel to sign the NPT. People in Pakistan condemn an American court's verdict against a female scientist. Well, it's time for a short break here on Press E, but right after that, we'll tell you more about the Iranian Christians that are condemning sacrilege of Islam's holy book. Stay tuned for that and a lot more. Iran's president says Tehran will examine a halt to uranium enrichment up to 20% when it's assured that it has the fuel supply for its nuclear research reactor near the capital, Tehran. And Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was speaking during a press conference in New York. He said Iran will still allow the UN inspectors to work on its nuclear activities, but called on them to work within IAEA rules and regulations. He also said Tehran is open to talks over its nuclear energy program and that an Iranian envoy will meet the P5+1 representatives in October for preparatory talks. Ahmadinejad also defended his proposal for the formation of an independent UN probe into the September 11th attacks during his speech at the General Assembly session. He said had such a probe been previously formed, it could have prevented what he called the catastrophes in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Was 9/11 events not responsible for hundreds of thousands of people dying in the Middle East? Have two countries not been invaded and occupied? Is the killing not ongoing? Do you think this is wrong in your opinion? Anyone who speaks should talk according to the wishes of the United States. They believe that they are perfect and they have no problems. But the moment you suggest there may be a problem, they get upset. But let me tell you something. They're accustomed to talking all the time, and they're not accustomed to listening. Once words are said in a different frequency, they get upset and they become perplexed. I believe this is assistance to them. I've tried to open the way for them so they leave Afghanistan and Iraq respectably. Is this bad? This is a very good assistance. It's totally humanitarian. It's assistance to the people of Afghanistan and Iraq, and it's also assistance to the soldiers of America and NATO who are getting killed, and also the people in the West who are paying the taxes while the soldiers are getting killed. This is assistance.
Well, Christians have taken to the streets of the Iranian capital, Tehran, to protest against the desecration of the Quran in the U.S. The protesters said desecrating a holy book is an insult to all religions and contradicts the teachings of Christ. Press TV's Arash Khalatsbari has more.
Protests against and condemnation of the Quran desecration in the U.S. on the anniversary of 9/11 continues. And Muslims are not the only ones condemning the act and protesting.
As Iranian Christians, we have gathered here to rally behind our Iranian Muslim brothers and sisters and condemn the act of desecrating the Quran. We respect the religion of Iranian Muslims and want to support them at such times.
These Christians say that they have also been offended by the Quran desecration and consider it an insult to all religions. They took to the streets on September 24th in Tehran to protest against the sacrilegious act, 2 weeks after the Holy Quran was burned in New York on the anniversary of the September 11 attacks.
Our Lord Jesus Christ has also condemned any type of submission to any type of tyranny and any type of blasphemy and offense. And as Christians, as the followers of Jesus Christ, we are obliged to respect our religions and to condemn any type of disrespect toward any religious text, including the Holy Quran.
Priests here believe that the person that burned Quran was not a true Christian.
You can be sure that the person that has done this cannot possibly be a Christian. Jesus said that in the future people will come under my name, but they are only scoundrels. They are wolves in the clothes of sheep, and be careful of them as they are wolves. The person that has done this is the wolf that Jesus had warned about.
Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, issued a statement on September 16, calling the U.S. government and the Zionists, not Christianity, responsible for such an anti-Islamic act. The most recent condemnation came when Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad drew the attention of world leaders to this issue in his address at the United Nations General Assembly on September 23rd.
They burned Quran to burn all these truths and good judgments. However, the truth cannot be burned. Quran is eternal.
Christians and Muslims have peacefully lived together in Iran for centuries, and Iran's Christian community is among the oldest in the world.
Christians have gathered here today to say that the message of Christianity is love and tolerance, and not war and hatred. Arash Khalatbari, Press TV, Tehran.
The United Nations has called for $180 million to feed 6 million flood victims in Pakistan. The world body says it's facing a shortage of money to meet food requirements over the next 2 months. It also warns that the coming winter could be a huge challenge for flood-affected Pakistanis. Earlier this week, the UN issued a record $2 billion appeal for funds to cope with the disaster. Torrential rains that began in July caused the worst flooding in Pakistan's history. The floods have affected 21 million people, according to the UN. Zimbabwe's president has called for a major overhaul of the UN's policies and guidelines. Robert Mugabe says that the UN must allow African nations to play a more active role in the Security Council in particular.
We are, however, concerned that the world today continues to witness unbridled acts of aggression, wars, conflicts, terrorism, and rising levels of poverty.
In his address before the UN General Assembly, Mugabe criticized major powers, calling them hypocritical. Mugabe said powerful nations only preach democracy while they, in reality, failed to follow through with their promises. He was also critical of the UN Security Council. He strongly disapproved of its makeup. He called for the addition of at least two African nations as permanent council members with full veto privileges. And he also called for two more non-permanent seats in the body to be reserved for African countries. Well, immigrant groups have been meeting in Italy to highlight the government's immigration policies. Press TV's correspondent in Milan, Jeremy